Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Midnight was the deadline for the Secretary of State to certify measures for the November ballot, and 10 have made the cut. That's not a particularly big number, but the variety and complexity of the measures is notable, ranging from redistricting to a bid to suspend the state's effort to control greenhouse gases. Kim Alexander heads the nonprofit, nonpartisan California Voter Foundation. She tells us the turnout is expected to get a boost from one measure in particular.
I think the legalized marijuana initiative on the ballot is going to be the biggest draw for voters on both sides. This is an issue that is already attracting nationwide attention. It will probably garner international attention as well. And it's going to draw a lot of people out for the election. There are already seven committees formed to support and oppose this proposition. So we can already see interest groups are aligning on both sides.
It's also interesting to note that whether it's the greenhouse gas measure or the marijuana measure or another measure, a major bond, $11 billion for water infrastructure improvements, that it all comes in the context of the economy, how the economy is doing, the unemployment rate in California. Do you imagine people are taking the economy in their back pocket into the voting booth with them in November?
I think the economy will factor in to voters' decisions across the ballot in November. We still have a high unemployment rate in California compared to other states. Our foreclosure rate is higher compared to other states. So these issues are on a lot of voters' minds, and money is all over the ballot. There are a lot of decisions voters will be asked to make that affect not just what tax rates are and what percentage vote it takes to pass a tax or pass a new fee, but also a number of measures that would restrict the legislature's ability to impose taxes or takes away taxes that the legislature, tax credits that the legislature had passed before. What I think is really interesting about this ballot and how it's shaping up is that it's very reactionary. There are a lot of measures on the ballot that are responding to things that the legislature has done, and that's different from past ballots. You know, usually the initiative process is something that's used by groups who feel like they can't get their voices heard in the legislature. This time around, you see a number of groups who do have active lobbying influence in the legislature, have tried to get their business done in the legislature, didn't get what they wanted, and are now going directly to the voters with their issues. And so you have a lot of initiatives where the voters are being asked to second-guess the decisions that the legislature has made, and that's going to be a hard job for voters.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is on his way out, but he's got some strong opinions about a couple of measures on the ballot.
He does. He has two measures that he championed as governor, which are at stake in this election. AB 32 is something that he points to as one of his major accomplishments. It's a bill that would, if it's allowed to stand, will attempt to slow the rate of global warming in California. And then he's also got the redistricting measures back on the ballot, and that's something that he fought hard for to get Prop 11 passed, raised a lot of money to support that measure, and that's at stake on this ballot as well.
Does he still carry a lot of political weight with voters?
You know, he has lately had a pretty good track record on the initiative front. I mean, he did succeed in getting Prop 11 passed. It wasn't only the governor. There were other groups that came together to support that measure, and it was a combination of a winning coalition of support that helped get that measure passed, but he certainly helped in the fundraising department, as he did with Prop 14, the open primary measure that just was enacted by a strong vote. So he has the ability to raise a lot of money, and I think on these issues, you may see that going on in the fall.
Kim Alexander, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Kim Alexander heads the California Voter Foundation. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled people who sign petitions to put referendums on state ballots don't have a right under the First Amendment to keep their names secret. A Washington state group that supports traditional marriage sued to block release of names for a measure there, citing the experience of those who backed Prop 8, the California initiative that overturned a court decision allowing same-sex marriage. Whether exceptions can be made for controversial measures is a question the justices sent back to the lower courts. Sarah Palin, the former Republican VP candidate, is expected to speak tonight at a fundraiser for Cal State Stanislaus. In anticipation, workers are putting up chain-link fencing around several university buildings. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca explains why.
It's no surprise that tonight's $500 a plate gala in the largely conservative Central Valley has been sold out for months. Dusty pickups moving along farm roads here often sport Palin bumper stickers. But some faculty members and students at Cal State Stanislaus in Turlock are planning to protest tonight's event. Biology professor Ken Schoenly says he thinks a scholar would have been a better choice to commemorate the campus's 50th anniversary.
It was never an issue of free speech. We certainly welcome that, and it's something that we all accept as a given at a university. I think the university foundation could have found more appropriate speakers, maybe even a Pulitzer Prize winner or a Nobel Prize winner.
And someone whose appearance may not have led to an investigation by the state attorney general's office. The controversy stems from the fact that tonight's dinner is sponsored by the nonprofit CSU Stanislaus Foundation, which raises money for scholarships and university programs. The foundation claims it's a separate entity and not required by law to disclose public records, including the details of Palin's contract. When two sleuthing students found a draft contract in a campus dumpster this spring, they learned Palin had requested first-class travel, bottled water, and bendable drinking straws, but found no details on how much she's being paid. Alicia Lewis was one of the students.
You see your classes being cut. Our tuition was just raised another 5% last week, and yet we still don't know what's happening with the money that's being given to us wholeheartedly by donors in the community.
State Senator Leland Yee is sponsoring a bill that puts foundations connected to state universities and community colleges under the State Public Records Act. It passed the Senate and is headed to the Assembly for a vote. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
And that's the California Report for Friday, June 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Howard Gelman, and Seal Muller. Our directors this week were Sarah Bond and Nina Thorson. Our interns are Devin Katayama, Thomas Gorman, Kristen Torres, and Catherine Tolentino. The editor is Dan Brecky, with help this week from Jill Silvestri. The online editor is Gabriel Cohn. The producer is Victoria Malion. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, with nomination information about the 2011 Leadership Awards at www.irvine.org. Chevron, an energy company encouraging innovation right here in California. This is the power of human energy. Information available at chevroncalifornia.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of hybrid on-premises and virtual solutions for content security, network optimization, and data storage, benefiting more than 100,000 organizations worldwide. Barracuda.com.